Welcome to Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs and authors who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog series, ShareYourStories.online. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Richard Stevens, who is an author and has multiple books under the genre of fantasy. So I'm really interested in sharing a little bit about the person behind the logo in introducing you to Richard today. So welcome.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you for having me today.
So, you know, I must admit that I have been super excited to spend some time with you today because having written a book myself, I know how much time and effort goes into the experience of actually writing. But you have done multiple books. So tell us a little bit about your experience as an author and how many books you've written to date.
To date, I've got 10 published. The 11th one is slated to be published at the end of July. My journey as an author started when I was 9, and I was a bored child. I wanted to do something with my summer vacation, so I wrote a Hardy Boys book with myself and my best friend, as Frank and Joe Hardy. And my writing evolved from there, and I had a career and 5 kids, and they kind of take precedence over everything I was doing. Writing was a hobby for me. And then about 3 years ago, 2017, we were in a position that I could retire from my job at the police service, and I decided to write full time. So with the support of my loving wife, I'm able to pursue that dream. And I published my first book in the fall of 2017, and I haven't looked back. So writing full time, it certainly expedites the business.
For sure. So tell me, 10 books, seriously, 10 books since 2017?
Well, the first one I started Soulforge when I was 17. So that book actually took 35 years to write.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then, I didn't have much time to write it. So I'd do it a little bit here, a little bit there. And then I wanted to write the backstory of a couple of the main characters just so I knew them better in my head. So when I was writing the story, so I wrote 2 short novellas as well. And in 2017, I had the 3 of them sitting there. Mind you, they needed to be professionally edited at that point. And so in 2017, September, I published The Royal Tournament, and that's a loosely edited kind of omniscient point of view book. So I did that so I could just learn the ropes on Amazon and make my mistakes with something. Not that I don't care for the book, but it wasn't Soulforge. It wasn't my baby. So I cut my teeth with my 2 novellas to find out the marketing side of being an independent author.
An author, yeah. So tell me a little bit about inspiration, because, you know, we all hear and read the articles about folks who write full time. And the first thing that comes to mind is writer's block, right? So you're sitting in front of the computer, or if you do the traditional way with a paper and pen, and you're looking at a blank screen or a blank sheet of paper, and you're like, oh my God, where do I start? So where do you get your inspiration?
I find that I personally don't believe in writer's block. I believe that, you know, sometimes the ideas just aren't flowing properly, but I think for me, I will write 3,000 words today, and tomorrow morning I will get up and I will edit the 3,000 words. So when I'm done the edit by around lunchtime, I will, my mind is in the right frame of mind to start the next part of the story. And if I, you know, if I do hit a block per se, I will just write the word "the," and then I'll write the next word that comes after it naturally, and then I'll just keep plodding along like that. And some days are a little forced, but, you know, that's what editing's all about. So you can always either refine it or ditch it or whatever you want to do with it. But I don't generally suffer writer's block, but writing full time certainly makes my process much easier.
So do you find that you storyboard? So, you know, when especially in the fantasy epic world where you've got multiple characters and you have lots of activity going on, and, you know, sometimes you're talking about scenery, sometimes it's dialogue. So do you storyboard the entire story for that particular novel at the beginning, or is it just a process that sort of evolves as you write?
No, I am a full-blown panther. So I've got a main character, and I open up the door and I kick him in the butt out on the world, and we discover the world together. We discover what he's going through together, or she. I generally have the ending in mind, not always, and a lot of times that ending changes because characters have a mind of their own. But no, I'm a panther, but as I'm going, and as soon as I write something about that character, you know, if it's brown eyes, long hair, whatever, I will enter that into an Excel spreadsheet. So the main characters, I obviously know, you know, I don't have to refer back to it generally, unless there's some kind of quirk that they have. But all the minor characters that come and go in the story, every time I come up with a new character, it goes on my Excel spreadsheet. It's all alphabetical, so I can just refer to it. And it, you know, it has physical description, clothing, and whatever other important facts of them. So if I'm 10 books in a series and all of a sudden Rika Dracfiend comes back in the story, I'm like, oh, see, you know, what is peculiar about her that make her stand out in the reader's mind? I can just find it right.
Now, I've heard some folks say that when they write in the fantasy epic world that they use people from real life experience. They have a quirky characteristic, or, you know, there's something about them that you think, wow, you know, that person would make a really cool character. So do you find that you get your inspiration from people that you meet in real life, or is it strictly your imagination?
I believe I probably do. I don't put any conscious thought into doing that. A lot of my characters are named. They're like Rika, who's the main character in my Dragon series. Her name came from my wife and my daughter, Rebecca and Caroline. So I just combined the two names and she became Rika. But as far as mannerisms and quirkiness and stuff like that, I probably pull it from, you know, I used to work in law enforcement. So I met a bunch of quirky people while I was working in law enforcement. And, you know, some of that stuff might go into the characters, but I don't consciously think about it.
Interesting. Now, can you tell me, you say that you work full-time and you have this wonderful experience now, you know, based on life experience of being able to take the time to be a full-time writer and author. So in a typical week, are we talking about writing, you know, 30 hours a week or 20 hours a week or 10 hours a week? What does that look like?
I sit down in front of my computer probably around 8 a.m. We normally get up and have a coffee and we sit down. My wife also works out of the same office. We both work from home. And I will do the marketing part and the social media stuff and all that stuff that I don't really enjoy doing in the morning. And then I'll do my edits and then I'll start writing generally just before lunch or just after lunch. We'll go for a walk and I'll write all afternoon. And depending on what's on our schedule, once supper's over, I'll sit down, maybe write another hour after that. So I do it full time. And sometimes we're in the office from 7:30, 8 o'clock till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. It all depends on how things are going with both of our businesses. So,
you know, it's really interesting that you talk. Clearly it's a passion, because there's absolutely no way that if it was sort of a hobby lifestyle that you would be able to not only make a dedication to the number of books that you've published, but to the time element that you're investing in each of the individual stories. But one of the things that I was wondering if you could share with our listening and viewing audience is, you know, you've talked about doing social media and all of the sort of marketing that, so the book is just one piece of the puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. You've got this wonderful masterpiece now at the end. You know, you've picked the cover, you've done your bio, you know, you've switched it up, you've done all the visuals. Now, what do you do with it? So can you, you know, for those folks who may be thinking that they have a book in them and they'd like to begin that process, maybe give them a little bit of the background into the marketing that goes, sort of the engine that goes behind selling the book.
Yeah, I'm certainly no expert in marketing, I'll tell you that right now. As soon as the book's done, you got the editing process to go through, and the marketing should probably be started at least then, if not beforehand. So you want to get the hump, or what, I can't even say it. I'm a writer and I can't come up with these words, but you want to get the buzz going. That's what I'm looking for.
Sure, yeah.
Book probably 4 to 5 months beforehand, just let people know what's coming, what it's about, right. You know, try and get people excited about it. I don't do that well. I know what I should do, but actually doing it is different. I'm trying to master Amazon ads. I don't think I'll ever do that. And we're trying to dabble in Facebook ads, which is even more daunting than Amazon ads. But there are a bunch of resources out there. Some are free, where they give you kind of the nuts and bolts of what you could do, but they don't flesh out the deeper nuances unless you actually pay for the course. But you can make a living being an author. You know, you're gonna have a good quality product, because, and you have to have a good cover. Like when they say you don't judge a book by your cover, I totally don't agree with that.
Right.
When people are looking for a new author, no one's heard of Richard H. Stevens. If they don't like my cover, they're not looking at me again.
So yeah, that's true.
They need to see my cover, and then that might draw them in to look at my blurb and look at the back of my book and maybe look inside when you're on Amazon. But the cover is certainly the first thing that draws the person in. So you want it on target. You know, I'd write about dragons, so there's got to be a dragon on there. It's got to look fantasy-esque. So
sure, sure.
So much to learn. Like, you know, it's something we certainly couldn't discuss over the next few minutes.
So tell me if you were, you know, you mentioned that you've published 10 books, you have another, you have the 11th sort of in the hopper and it will be out soon. How many do you see in your series before you will kind of either move into another dynamic as a writer? Do you see this moving on for another 5 years or 10 years?
5 years for sure for the same series. But when I write the series, I write them generally in trilogies. So the three chunks. So you get Eustareka in book one and all the characters that come along with her. And at the end of book three, the story winds itself up and ties up all the loose ends. And that story's done. And then I will go on to a different point in time in the same universe. And, you know, stuff that Rika and all her friends have done is obviously the history of the next series. But the next series will be standalone on its own as well. So it's kind of like Terry Brooks. Terry Brooks is my inspiration into fantasy. I love his books. And he's just winding down a Shannara series. And he does that too. He's got the same storyline that goes throughout the whole universe of Terry Brooks, sort of Shannara. But they come basically in three book chunks.
Right.
So you know, you can start with Shay Olmsford and Sword of Shannara and end with him in Wishsong of Shannara, and you don't have to read anything else and you're satisfied. But if you really are invested in the series, then you can go on and find out some more about it.
Right, right. One of the things that is really interesting about the guest blog series, and we end with three words of advice for folks who are either moving into the same area of yourself as an author or perhaps as an entrepreneur. And your three words are pretty amazing, and they say believe in yourself. So tell us a little bit about why those three words are really important to you as an author and an entrepreneur.
Yeah, believe in yourself, I think, is a fundamental part of anything that anyone wants to set out to do. That if you don't believe in yourself, no one else is going to believe in you either. So, you know, if you want to be successful at whatever you do, writing books or entrepreneur in any other kind of business, like my wife, she's a virtual assistant and she believes in herself. She does a great job. But, you know, if you don't believe in yourself, you can't expect the rest of the world to believe in you either. So, the first step is you got to get past those crushing doubts that, you know, you're human, you're going to have. And just believe in yourself that you can do what what your passion is and what you set your mind to. And as soon as you believe in yourself, the world will follow.
Well, you know, that's a really wonderful way for us to end our segment today, Richard. And I'd really like to thank you for the little nuggets of inspiration that you've provided for any would-be authors or writers out there. And I thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank the listening and viewing audience today. I hope you've had a little bit of behind-the-scenes look at the person behind the logo, and in this case, the book cover, as we introduced you to another edition of Keeping It Real. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trish.